Good morning, all. I'm Gloria, compulsive overeater, living in recovery today. It's nice to be here. And let me, I need to say, I need to give up the waiting room controls for the moment. In this
Just one.
moment, I am not
I'm
waiting room.
sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't see the timer up.
That is, she came back in as Samsung.
Okay. Mary Jo, are you able to time keep? I don't hear you.
Yes, I can time keep.
Okay, all right. Just let Gloria know when 5 minutes to go. Thanks.
Good morning. I am grateful that I was asked at the last moment yesterday to if I could do this. And I, you know, it's funny. I've been speaking about stepping up and doing service lately. We do service when we can. When we can't, we can't. I was able to step up and say I can do service today, for today. I just learned to say yes. We can't always say yes. But that said, for those of you who have never heard my story, my eating history started at an early age. It started around 5. I come from a very hectic, chaotic, often volatile, physically and emotionally volatile family. And add to that that I was very isolated. I felt isolated, wanting to be isolated as well as, wanting to isolate from that. And I started school at 5 years old. And that was an added trigger to start eating. I've often said that if I could have, if my mother had let me, I probably would have started drinking as a way to get my sugar at 5 years old. But my mother, being the good mother she was not going to let me start being an alcoholic at 5 years old. So I started eating. And there are those, and I think I probably have to agree with it. Eating helped me survive. Eating compulsively, specific. Was a way for me to survive emotionally in a very hectic but loving family. I come like I, as I said, I come from a family that was very volatile, but it was a loving family. My parents gave us so much, not financially, not materially, but there was a lot of love, a lot of really great adventure. I learned early to be curious, and it was a, in many ways, it was a wonderful childhood. I grew up just outside of New York City, and my playground, my childhood playground, was New York City, and it was cool. That said, I learned to deal with life by eating. Eventually smoking and then eventually drinking. To wrap that up, my father taught me my addictions. He taught me we do not experience anger, we do not experience pain, and the only way to do not have to experience that was to eat, drink, smoke. And I did all three. But he also taught me my recovery. My father was a functioning alcoholic. He, in his drinking days, while he was drinking one evening, drove drunk and hit a child who gratefully, blessedly survived. He could not deal with that. So the next day he went into AA. And One of the things I love about his recovery is that first meeting, he had said, "Hi, my name is Gloria. I'm not sure. Hi, my name is John. I'm not sure if I'm an alcoholic. I just want to control my drinking." The gentleman who was to become his sponsor said, "Do me a favor. Don't drink for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, tell me if you're an alcoholic." He couldn't last 3 days. I found out years later that came from the big book. And I bring this all up because my father put a high number on the number on the scale for me. I was the only one of six children who had, as I saw it at the time, as a problem with the scale. And he was never happy with the number on the scale. I was brought as a child to diet doctor, to pediatrician, to, I was prescribed, I think they were called Sleeping Beauty or Black Beauties, as a diet aid. They just made me a raving lunatic. I went to Weight Watchers as a minor, and I went there until 1 week I did not lose the prescribed amount of weight, and I was shamed in front of everybody for not having lost the prescribed amount of weight, at which point I left. I don't need help from somebody else to shame me. I could do that quite well all on my own, and I'm not going to pay you to shame me. I don't need help. So I left. In my journey, my aunt, my father's sister, introduced me to OA down on Long Island. By then, we were living up here in the New York State Capital District. But there weren't meetings up here. And God had other ideas. God really, my higher power had other ideas because my father, God bless that man, read the newspaper, the local newspaper, from front to back, including the ads and the person. Person, the PSAs, and he saw a little ad for the "Do you have a problem with food?" And he mentioned it. He didn't know that I knew about OA, but he brought it up and asked. I go. He'd been by this time sober for a year, and as I had said, he taught me my recovery. My father was like night and day. From the man who was sober was a different man from the man who was drinking. So he taught me my recovery. So I knew that the 12 steps worked. I entered OA, and then a year or so later, I graduated. I came in, and I still remember this to this day. At that time, when I went in, when I entered OA, I weighed 199 pounds, and when I graduated, I was 130, and didn't keep it off for all that long. And so I did this throughout the years. I came in, left, came in, left. 26 years and some months ago, I came in, back in, not because of the number on the scale, but because I was a rageaholic. My mother actually 12 steps me this time. I was raging at her. She left, say, "I'm not putting up with your rage." And in that moment after she left, I remember having that intuition saying, and the intuition was, I remember thinking, "I think you need to get back into OA." And I went out and told my mother, "I need to get to an OA meeting. There's one in a couple of hours. I know exactly where it," and I always thought it was interesting that I knew exactly where they were and when they were. And her first response was, "Thank God." She brought me to that meeting, and I haven't left since. I have not left the 12 steps since. My life since, I that it just so happened that I had gone to the doctor's office that morning. I weighed 337 pounds, even though that's not why I came back into the room. Just to note, I weighed 337 pounds. Today, I weigh 135, and I have been at approximately that weight within about 18 pounds for the last 12 years. So that's the physical part. I got to tell you that I've grown up in this room. I've often heard it said, I have often heard it said that you are emotionally, you are the age that you were when you come into the room and you go to put down the whatever substance, you're at the age that you picked up for the first time. So I was probably had the maturity, the not so much the mental capacity, but the emotional maturity of a 5-year-old. I was often that petulant child that wanted my own way, and I was going to sulk and pout if I didn't get my way. But I also lived angrily. I do. Anger is not, I've heard it said that anger, I want to put this correctly, it's an emotional gauge to tell us when something's going on. I am no longer a rageaholic. And I can never remember if it's in the big book or in AA's 12 and 12. That it is said that anger, resentment, rage is a dubious luxury of normal men. It is something that I cannot afford. I cannot afford to go off the handle. If I there is anger, the 12 steps, the tools, including my sponsor, talking with people on the phone, fellow members, will help me understand, will help me get to the other side and understand. One of those things that helped me, one of those tools is writing. I don't write as much as nearly as much as I would like to. Other than, so that's why, with our OA literature, the OA's 12 and 12. There's also the 12-step workbook. OA's For Today and Voices of Recovery both have workbooks, and I use those workbooks in large part to be able to write about what I need to write about. Because for me, OA is not about the food. It's not about what I'm eating, how much I'm eating, what my alcoholic foods are. And sugar is my number one alcoholic food without a doubt. But it's also fat substance and salt. But it's for me, being in these rooms, being working my recovery is not about the food. It is about that stuff between my ears that bring me to the food. So I have to look at why I'm wanting to go to the refrigerator, to the kitchen cabinets, to wherever, and pick up substances that are not on my food plan, not on my food plan. And I'm so grateful for being able to be aware and be aware of what's going on between the ears. Emotionally, not emotionally, spiritually, I have a relationship with higher power. I've often talked about how I have always believed in God, but I had often, prior to being in the rooms, I often believed that my God, the God of my childhood, had abandoned me. I've come to realize while sitting in these rooms that my higher power is always there. My higher power kept bringing, brought me to, it was God, it was my God who helped my father see that little public service announcement and say, "Do you want to go to a meeting?" It was my higher power who I feel created AA 90 years ago on my mother's birthday. But created AA when that created all the other 12-step rooms and kept bringing me back to OA. It was my God. It was my higher power who I call Grace that
5 minutes
said that.
ago, Gloria.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my God who had said, "I think you need to get back into the rooms." And I've talked for the last 26 years that I have glued my ass to the seat because whenever I leave these rooms, I end up right back in that place where I started, but worse off. And I don't want to do that again. My life today, by sitting here, I have maintained a healthy body weight for the last 11 years. It took me a while to get there, but I got there and I've stayed there. In these rooms, I quit smoking. And I started smoking because as a 16-year-old, I had heard that it was a great diet aid. It was probably one of the hardest things I had to do, but I'm so grateful I get to do it today. And a few years ago, about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, there was a family trauma. And for whatever God unknown reason, I thought it was a good idea to dive into the bottle as a solution. I was able to understand, by talking with somebody, I was able to understand that I was seeking the solution in the bottle. And I did not want that to be my life. Before I became a full-fledged alcoholic, and some, depending on who I talk to, I'm either a full-fledged alcoholic in recovery or I'm a problem drinker in recovery, and that doesn't matter. I'm in recovery. I'm not seeking the solution in a food package, in a cigarette package, or in a bottle. I seek the solution sitting in these rooms,
Three
sitting in this
minutes
room.
to go.
Thank you. Sitting in this room enables me to have a relationship with my higher power who will always guide me to do her will. It was her will recently that told me to go back to this group of people. I have been going to this organization where I get to socialize with lovely people. A little blip happened and I left. And I went back yesterday. It was wonderful. I was loved. I was loved. People missed me. And I know it was God's will for me in part because while there, I got a wonderful phone call from a fellow OA member who's sitting in this room. I wasn't able to talk to her at that moment, but we had a wonderful half hour conversation later on. And then I was asked a little while later to speak here. So I think God was telling me, yeah, that was a good thing to do that. I know it wasn't a bad thing because I had asked for guidance and I heard nothing saying that was saying no. So on that, I get to say today that I'm so grateful that I sit in this room every morning and listen to you all. You've all been with me as I've journeyed, as I've been on this wonderful journey. So on that, I'm going to finish off before I hear the beep, and hand it over to the moderator. Thank you very much.